monitoring the mountains of the West, parting the Pine Curtain of the East, and keeping watch over the prairies and hills in between. Here's your Texan-in-Chief, Robert Pratt, with Pratt on Texas.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without a corporate management muzzle. Our Lone Star story of the day, well, the fake Hispanic Robert Francis Beto Pancho O'Rourke's political campaign staff have voted to unionize. If they can't trust him, why should Texans? Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored as always by our friends at Allied Compliance Services. They'll help your business or institution set up a legal drug and alcohol testing program. And truckers and fleet owners, Allied Compliance Services is your buddy in compliance with DOT testing regs. Reach the best in compliance at alliedcompliance.com. Did you know that keeping leftist political action out of public school classrooms and faculty is considered anti-public education by the Texas media and other Democrats? Of course it is. Got a Uvalde update, a Seventh Court of Appeals update, and much more. Listen to the show anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your schedule. Get the podcast of today's show and long-form interviews at PrattOnTexas.com. By the way, I want to say how much I appreciate the kind words twice this week, at least, that I caught of Ken Adams, who hosts The Thin Line during the noon hour on our Lubbock affiliate, KWBF, Walk by Faith Radio. Ken really had a great show the other day, earlier in the week, and then this today, he was talking about that this isn't just politics, it's spiritual warfare, and he's absolutely right, but he said something that so resonates with me, and it's why a lot of you, and I'm in this camp too, because I grew up in the church, I have spent a lot of my life in the church, I have read theological materials, you know, stuff that you have to do when you go to seminary. But, you know, I've spent entire stretches of my life not reading my Bible daily and regularly and things like that. And I'll tell you why you ought to, besides anything else. Ken made a comment about some scripture he was talking about. He said, I didn't know what that scripture meant until last year. I think he was talking about where Jesus talks about our individual, about growing the talents, the money, that parable, using your talents to please God. Let me tell you something. It's like everything else in your life. If you think, oh, I already read that, you're a different person today than you were 6 months ago and a year ago. You are a sum of your life experiences. And it is absolutely true that things you've read your whole life, maybe even read commentaries on, take on entirely new meanings at the time when God is, the Holy Spirit's willing to, is ready to show you those meanings. And it has to do with things going on in your life. And I highly recommend that you make it a habit. It's very easy over breakfast or something. Nowadays, you can go online. My favorite, and you can do it from your Kindle or, you know, your Fire tablet or your phone or whatever. Every day, it's totally free, is the oneyearbibleonline.com, spelled out, oneyearbibleonline.com, where Tom Dooley, the late, great Tom Dooley of Dallas, who I think Billy Graham said he'd rather hear him read the Bible than anyone else on earth, reads the scripture every day, and it takes 1 year. You get the Old Testament, New Testament, and some Psalms and Proverbs, and also you get a little commentary so you know what's going on, and it's fabulous. And it's so easy to do. Every morning you can do that on your way somewhere or in the evening or whatever. It's just fabulous. It makes it so easy. But Ken Adams in The Thin Line was really on it today, talking about what we're facing as a society. And you know, many theologians and folks talking about we're moving into a post-Christian society. In other words, the Christendom built the West and the Enlightenment and the countries, the freedom that we have. I mean, all of that came out of the Christian movement. And sadly, the idea is that we're moving into an era past that where most people don't, or a huge number of people, don't have any affiliation with the Christianity and their roots and what's true in truth, really, let's face it, truth. And it's anyway, Ken was so right. I didn't know what that scripture meant. I can't tell you how many times now, you're going through that. Wow. Now all of a sudden something that just was uninteresting or you didn't even understand, or you thought you understood it on a surface level, all of a sudden has profound meaning for you. And that's why you need to always be studying God's word. He left us with his word. And Ken Adams, thanks a lot on the thin line for all the nice things you've had to say about the show. My friends, it is indeed a great day to be a Texan. The Baker Hughes Rotary Rig Count is out on this Friday, the 29th of July in the year of our Lord, 2022. The U.S. rig count, drilling for oil and gas, went up 9. The Texas rig count had a big jump this week, up 6. That's right, up 6 rigs to 371. We were at 230 at this time a year ago. The big wildfire around Possum Kingdom's west side, Possum Kingdom that destroyed some homes and all of that, the chief of the Possum Kingdom West Side Volunteer Fire Department, Chief Bonnie Watkins, says that this was caused by sunlight magnified by glass bottles in an open garbage can, ignited paper trash that was in there as well. It makes sense. Those of us have, you know, used to burn red ants and stuff with a bottle or something, using it like a magnifying glass. And they found a wind gust opened the can lid, allowed sunlight magnified by the glass bottles to ignite paper. A bunch of party trash was in there. Fire built rapidly and spilled from the can and spread to nearby cedar trees. Trish Choate in the Times Record News of Wichita Falls reports that Ian Hugh McMurtry, a former Wichita County Sheriff's Lieutenant, has now been indicted, I believe, on a new charge, replacing a previous civil rights indictment. They're Class A misdemeanors involving the treatment of prisoners there. He's a 55-year-old Iowa Park man. And my friends, our good chronicler of all things space, Bob Zimmerman at BehindTheBlack.com, has two updates important to us today. He's got an update on the status of Starship Super Heavy down in Boca Chica Beach, and reporting from space, I think NASA Space Flight Now, which is a news site, said that Booster 7, Elon Musk said Booster 7 is going to roll back the production site working repairs, and then they're still doing repairs for the next week or two, so that's going to push all these tests back. And Zimmerman said if SpaceX decides to retire number 7, it's already prepping number 8 and number 9, with number 8 likely to be put on the pad for testing next week. But the target for that first orbital launch is still August, maybe. He says that appears increasingly unlikely. And then in the continuation of playing politics to try to squelch the free market to protect the government monopoly on space, you know, they've done everything they can through the Biden administration to slow walk and try to keep SpaceX from launching their stuff. And SpaceX said, well, we'll just go launch in Florida. We've already got approval there. Well, guess what? They're heading them off there. NASA's apparently withdrawing its permit for Starship launches in Florida. MyNews13.com there reports that while final environmental assessment for Starship was issued in September of 2019, NASA said that, we're going to review the risk. In other words, they're going to put up a whole bunch of new bureaucratic barriers, to even though they already had the permission. And Zimmerman says this action continues the increased regulatory oversight on new space activities being imposed since the arrival of the Biden admin. Federal government's now apparently trying to set a new policy whereby any new work by a private company on or near federal land will require full approval. It's full approval. And even given that approval will carry with it strict and endless government demands, all designed to slow things down. Political timing of this new action, however, is significant since this decision for Florida will occur after the November midterm. So there you have it. They continue to work against us, my friends. Today in Texas history, this is the day in 1878, a team of astronomers converged in Fort Worth to observe a total solar eclipse. The Harvard College Observatory guy, I think his name was Leonard Waldo, led the party. And studies led to important findings regarding the height of the sun's chromosphere, and they produced dramatic images of the solar corona. More Texas history after the break, then we dive into all that political news here on the Texas Hour.
The news and commentary of Texas continues after this.
Join us for the 2022 Hunter's Banquet and Auction on Saturday, August 27th at the Lubbock Memorial Civic Center, sponsored by People's Bank. The Hunter's Banquet and Auction features good times, great food, premium live auction, silent auction, and so many chances to win everything from fine art and luxurious vacation trips to guns, knives, more guns, fishing trips, and hunts nearby and around the world. And did I mention guns? Hunter's Banquet and Auction is Saturday, August 27th. Tickets now on sale at LubbockSportsman.com, LubbockSportsman.com. True Texans, I'll see you there.
License DXCLA 12-29-OE.
It gets skin-cracking dry and allergy-driving dusty on the high ground of Texas. Heart Heating and AC can help you make your home and your life cleaner and more comfortable. Heart Heating and AC are experts at improving your comfort with whole home humidity control, UV light filtration, and other services that make your home healthier and happier. Stop the suffering and take it to Heart. Heart Heating and AC. Get healthier and happier. Heart. H-A-R-T HeatingandAC.com.
Not only do we beef up with Raider Red Meats, Isabel and I love their sausage, especially that with the cheese and Hatch green chili in it, and their spicy barbecue sauce has become my favorite. Some Raider Red Meats products available in select United supermarkets. Ask at the meat counter. Raider Red Meats does sell the best tasting, best quality beef, pork, and lamb. Learn more at RaiderRedMeats.com, see sales at their Facebook page, and visit their Texas Tech campus store in Lubbock, where we shop.
Welcome to the show, where Juan Seguin, Sam Houston, and the Alamo are revered equally as Washington, Jefferson, and Concord. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. A little more Texas history, by the way. Our look at Texas history sponsored by USA Investigations. Security, surveillance, witness interviews and statements, criminal and civil investigations, and much more. They'll do employee background checking for you. Learn about the team and investigate for detail at usainvestigations.net. Fire-breathing preacher indicted for murder. 29 July 1926, Frank J. Frank Norris. He was the controversial, they say, minister of the First Baptist Church in Fort Worth. He was indicted for murder. He had been zealous in promoting prohibition, condemning gambling, and attacking the alleged teaching of evolution at Baylor. Though he had begun the first regular radio ministry in the U.S. in 1920, he was an open supporter of the Ku Klux Klan, so he was an old Democrat and big anti-Catholic. His unrelenting criticism of Baylor, Baptist leaders, and state Baptist policies caused the Baptist General Convention to deny seats to his congregation at their conventions in 22 and 23. He quarreled with Mayor Meacham in Fort Worth. Norris shot and killed Meacham's friend, D.C. Chips. The fiery fundamentalist, though, was acquitted on grounds of self-defense. It's also the date, 1958, President Eisenhower signed the National Aeronautics and Space Act, forming NASA. My friends. All right, let's move on. Governor Abbott commends passage of critical semiconductors legislation, and he's all for it. This is and going on and on to the press release. Well, I think it was an awful bill. There was a big piece in the Texas Tribune semiconductor subsidies bill backed by top Texas Republicans passes in U.S. House and heads for Biden to Biden for final approval. However, only Congressman McCall of Austin and Kay Granger of Fort Worth, they were the only Republicans to vote for the bill in the House. And over in the Senate, John Cornyn, of course, was a big backer of this big corporate croning handout to semiconductor companies. Ted Cruz voted against it. He said, I'm all for using the tax code to incentivize manufacturers to build semiconductors in America. Me too. But when the federal government simply gives billions of taxpayer dollars directly to massive corporations, it invites cronyism and corruption. That's exactly right. Look, folks, I know everybody, well, it's critical to national survival. Folks, the semiconductor industry is a global, mature industry. It doesn't need government handouts for research and development and all the other stuff that they put in this deal. Now, some incentives or something, maybe to get them, make them build them here and get them to build here instead of, you know, in China and overseas. But we already see that's already happening with new projects without any of this. New projects from Samsung, the global giant, from Texas Instruments, the Texas-based global giant. This is just bad stuff. And, of course, Abbott and Cornyn, both part of their entire center of their whole thing is this using taxpayer money to hand to companies and call it economic development. Senate approved the ICDOC plan for Galveston Bay, but again, everybody's writing stories without really understanding that they've approved the plan. It's one step closer. They actually haven't funded any of this stuff, so and it's massively expensive. And, of course, environmentalists are screaming about it. We want people to be killed in hurricanes and everything to be wiped out because we hate progress. We want everybody to die and only have a few hundred thousand people on Mother Earth because that's all she can support. It's just typical. All right. Should I get into this Harris County elections thing? No. I'll wait till later if I get time. I've got so many good stories in the stack. Let's move into one of them right now. There is a nominee for the a vacancy on the 7th Court of Appeals in Texas, which the Lubbock region and all the way at the top of the panhandle are part of. The court sits in Amarillo. My good friend Brian Quinn serves as Chief Justice there. The party will now get the executive committee of the party, all these counties, the precinct chairman, will get to select a nominee. That'll let the Democrats put somebody on the ballot as well, I believe, unless they already had somebody on the ballot. I didn't check that. They're not going to win. Anyway, Saturday, August 20th, about 150 members of the district executive committee, in other words, all the precinct chairmen and the county parties that live within the 7th Court of Appeals district, will meet in Plainview, and they'll listen to all these people and they'll vote and put a nominee. This is one of the reasons you want to be a precinct chairman, because when you have a vacancy after the primaries and certain time window, the party actually puts the nominee on the ballot. That's going to be a big deal within legal circles in Northwest Texas. Let's get to a Uvalde update. The news today was that the principal, Mandy Gutierrez, of that Robb Elementary School had been placed earlier this week on administrative leave with pay by the Uvalde CISD superintendent. She's now, according to her lawyer, that's been lifted, and she's fully reinstated in her position. A Reuters story said the report said Gutierrez and other staff knew the lock on the door of room 111 where the shootings took place was not working, but did not place a work order to get it fixed. That broken lock enabled the gunman to easily enter the classroom. It said that's actually a little bit of an inaccurate summary. What they leave out in these stories is there was much, much more of that under her leadership there. And get over it. It's not blaming a teacher. See, that's the tenor of all these stories is, well, they're blaming the teacher. She's management. Once you become a principal, you are white-collar management. And you're responsible, or else don't take the pay that comes with it. There was much more. And this was not outsiders saying it. It was testimony from the people, her teachers and her and other people in the school. Staff routinely propped up the outside doors that are supposed to remain locked. There are many staff, according to some teachers, who just didn't bother locking their rooms. They didn't have keys for the substitute teachers. They'd just tell them to leave them unlocked. There's a lot in the report. Go read the report. And the idea that, oh, we're just beating up on this poor woman who, she's just beating up on teachers. No, sorry, she's management. She's responsible. That goes along with the job. Grow up. So funny, the education establishment, their unions and all their groups, they always want all this respect, but when it comes down to it, they don't want to act like professionals. Oh, we don't want to be judged on the quality of our work. Oh, you can't measure how effective we've been. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Sound like the UAW members that killed off the car industry in this country back through the late 60s into the 70s and 80s. Bankrupted people, you know. More money, less accountability. Oh, don't hold us to quality standards like Toyota and people. No, that's wrong. Oh, nope, just more money. We know where that got us. All right, my friends, there was a huge piece by Jim Henson, the big pollster and lefty political guy running the Texas Politics Project at the University of Texas at Austin. Headline, it's long. Political evasions taint the work of the House Committee report on the Robb Elementary School mass shooting. There's nothing tainted in here. You know what he's mad about? Two things. And it's predictable. In fact, one of them, without even knowing this piece existed, I was talking about in a roundabout way, I think yesterday in the show. The first thing he's mad about is the most glaringly, the report leaves the consequences of the killer's choice of weaponry unaddressed. What does it matter? He went in there and shot people. See, the left wants to blame it on the gun, not the person. And that's the second thing his long piece is angry about. Oh, there's a whole bunch about, well, it focuses on the school chief and all that, not DPS. And the DPS didn't have the jurisdiction there, sir. They were on the school's property. They have a police department. It's their jurisdiction. And their police chief was in charge. And that's why the focus is on that. You utter moron. The reason they want to go DPS is, well, you know, that's under the governor and they want to make it political. The other big thing they're mad about is that the report told you about the background of the killer, of the murderer. Because they don't want to talk about the human responsible agency of people who commit murders. It's all about the weapon. Somehow the weapon made him into a murderer. And this is a really disgraceful piece from a guy at UT. It is if you've read the report, his piece is not scholarly material. It is disgraceful. He's mad because the report didn't contain leftist Democrat shibboleths, you know, to make it all political from their point of view. That's what he's mad about, pure and simple. Back in a moment.
Pratt's back in a moment. After we hear from those who pay the bills.
My entire trip, hotels, food, transport, and fun for both Isabel and me to Dental Care's Dr. Silvia Zuniga in Costa Rica cost us less than half my lowest dental work quote at home. I'm not alone in learning how much of a do-not-miss opportunity this is. A farmer from Crosby County had dental work needs that would have cost $25,000 here. He went to Dr. Zuniga at Dental Care, a cosmetic dental specialist, by the way, and had all 28 of his teeth crowned, each shaped uniquely for him, and two root canals he needed, all for under 10 grand. He had a great time, went to the Pacific Side beaches for a few days too, and his total hotel bill for the entire trip was under $1,000. Costa Rica is one of the hottest tourist destinations in the world. It's very safe, very easy to get around in, and not expensive to fly to from Texas, including on Southwest. If you want top dental work at affordable prices, learn more about Dr. Silvia Zuniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at PrattOnTexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
Hey now, Robert Campbell with Campbell Containers out here on I-20 between Abilene and Clyde. Our yard is always open, so you can stop in and check out our inventory. Each container for sale has a little orange price tag on the door. I told my wife the other day we might make one into a little mother-in-law apartment, you know, that you can put out behind the house. I'm going to call it the Contain Her.
Robert!
It locks from the outside.
Robert!
He thinks prairie dogs should be kept around for economic development. Hunting is big business. Now more Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services. Lynnell Roach and her staff, by the way, do you great work. Clients for life, that's what they get. And you truckers, you need to use them for your DOT testing and all that stuff. The story today is Beto O'Rourke campaign staffers vote to unionize. Now, I know a lot of you are laughing. They're laughing. I mean, what? They think, if you read their statements, they think that we're proud to be walking the walk. That's what their campaign chief gets. They think this is a sign that they're all really good liberals and it's good for Robert Francis, the fake Hispanic Beto Pancho O'Rourke. Folks, the purpose of labor unions was distrust of management. The idea, you know, they still hold this, it's straight out of Marxism. That capital, the people in charge, and, you know, now they have all these public employees unions, which should be banned because there is no outside capital. You get to vote like everybody else if it's a public institution. Anyway, the idea is that you can't trust management to look out for you, so you need the power of collective bargaining and unionizing to protect you from a manipulative management. And that's really what they're doing. 129 staffers voted to unionize for O'Rourke. Renee Azzi, Abbott campaign spokesperson, told the Texan, the way Beto O'Rourke runs his campaigns, the way he wants to run Texas, straight into the ground with its extreme socialist labor policies. This sort of European-style collective bargaining is a nightmare for business and would destroy the Texas miracle. Beto O'Rourke is reaping what he's trying to sow in Texas. Now, the Texan reports, Brad Johnson says during his run for governor, O'Rourke shied away from the progressive union-focused rhetoric of his presidential campaign when he touted sector-wide collective bargaining practices like those that predominate in Europe. Yeah, the moribund economy of Europe. Back in 2019, when he was running for prez, O'Rourke tweeted, unions are the engine of our economy and a pathway to the middle class for millions of Americans. But in his current platform, oh, Robert Francis only mentions unions once in reference to transitioning away from fossil fuel use, creating, quote, over 1 million high-skill, high-wage union jobs in geothermal energy, offshore wind, hydrogen, battery storage, and more in the years to come, end quote. It's not the first time he's appeared to shift rhetorically on the issue. Back during his time on the El Paso City Council, O'Rourke was a key player in a fight with the city's police union over their positions taken during the ongoing labor contract fight. During that fight, he said there needs to be better checks on collective bargaining in the public sector. And his aim to pass right to organize legislation would turn the clock back on Texas right to work status. As a right-to-work state, all of us have the right to take a job without being required to join a union and pay dues to it. And his group thinks, oh, we're being... Look, it's real simple. Beto O'Rourke's campaign staff voted to unionize. So his own backers and staff do not trust him to look out for their interests. If so, then how are voters expected to trust him for the same? If his own political staff cannot trust him, and they need the power of collective bargaining to stand up to management, which in this case would be him because it's a political campaign, how in the world could Texans trust O'Rourke? These people are utter fools, just utter fools. And by the way, speaking of foolishness, Greg Sindler at Texas Public Policy Foundation had a great piece. Wake up! Woke means thinking, speaking, and doing as you're told. According to the left, woke is a right-wing myth, you know, like the current recession, the crisis at the southern border, and skyrocketing violent crime rates. Nothing to see here. Move along. But he writes, we mustn't move along. The Overton window, the ideas considered acceptable for public discourse, has been dragged so far to the left that common sense ideas and policy prescriptions, once considered mainstream, are now silenced and their advocates canceled. Here's an example. Do you, like a clear majority of Americans, believe that children are too young to decide to have double mastectomies or even more risky bottom surgeries, they call them bottom surgeries, or receive dangerous puberty blockers before they're 18, a standard that applies to tattoos even in Texas? Then according to woke ideology, you're perpetuating trans teen suicide. The truth, of course, is that these are serious medical procedures with lifelong side effects and consequences with no evidence of lasting improvement in mental health outcomes or suicide rates. One more. Do you believe that humans who have babies are more properly called women and mothers? You're behind the times. The new woke term is birthing people, according to the Biden administration, Democrats, and other progressive groups. What is wokeism? It is a soft fascism that looks to control us and suppress any opposition to its worldview. It is meant to control what you think. It is meant to control what you say. It is meant to control what you do. And it is meant to control who you are. Columbia University linguist John McWhorter has studied the phenomenon of wokeism, which began as black vernacular. He compares the fervor and the self-assuredness of the woke to a religion. Quote, if a person doesn't agree with a certain agenda that's centered on that to the expense of everything else, then those people deserve to be shamed, possibly even dismissed from their positions. And so it's an evangelical and even prosecutorial way of being anti-racist. Yet your compliance with wokeism, Greg writes, even out of a sense of politeness, leads unavoidably to the erasure of everything you are. And this is the point. A person who can be made to affirm anything, no matter how preposterous, that a man can become pregnant, or that pilgrims came to America to eliminate trans culture, is a subject, not a citizen, and subjects are fit only to be ruled. We see this disease in all walks of life, finance, science, the media, and of course in business. By the way, that's why you have no corporate management muzzle here. It's been mandated in boardrooms worldwide via the ESG, the Environmental, Social, and Governance movement. But there's good news. Americans are, I say very slowly, waking up to the manipulation they've been subjected to by wokeism. Texas Comptroller Hager, for example, has taken a bold stand against ESG movement, which is attempting to cripple the oil and gas industry. Backed by legislation passed in 2021, he's calling out investment firms that are, quote, telling us and other energy-producing states one thing and then turning around and telling their liberal clients in other states another thing. Hager spoke on wokeism at the Texas Public Policy Livestream event. He was joined on stage by author Vivek Ramaswamy, whose new book, Woke Inc., points out that the modern woke industrial complex divides us as a people by mixing morality with consumerism. America's elites prey on our innermost insecurities about who we really are. They sell us cheap social causes and skin-deep identities to satisfy our hunger for a cause and our search for meaning at a moment when we as Americans lack both. Right, they're no different than all the long-standing religious flim-flam artists, folks. And Greg says there's further reason for optimism. We're seeing people like Bill Maher, Barry Weiss, and even Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz, who I might add is generally no friend to reason and common sense, becoming woke leaders for they're bemoaning woke leaders for abdicating their responsibility to fight crime, resulting in Starbucks closing more than a dozen profitable stores just this month. Like Schultz, our nation's waking up and smelling the coffee. He's hoping wokeism goes the way of the left's other bad ideas. Here's hoping it goes with their other bad ideas onto the ash heap of history. And our good friend Vance Ginn and Austin Prochko had a piece about Orwell's victims would be proud of Biden's distortion of recession. That's right. They're trying to tell you we're in a transition. Yeah, we're being transitioned from a positive economy to a negative economy where we get poorer. That's all inflation is. It's just a devaluation of the currency. Your dollar's worth less every day. It's not that stuff becomes more expensive. You need to learn that. It's that it takes more dollars to have the same purchasing power. It's bankrupting us. Anyway, their piece at the TPPF is very good, talking about the Orwellian rhetoric coming out of the White House on this stuff. Says it's true Orwellians speak what they say. Ahead of, negative, another quarter of negative inflation-adjusted economic growth. Don't believe your eyes. Don't believe what you see, your bigger bills and your dwindling savings account. The economy's actually fine. It's pure Orwellian. But that's what George was talking about, these kind of statists, these movements do this. And that goes to the woke stuff. It's designed to control your mind. If you're a free American, you've just got to reject it all, no matter the social pressure.
Keep that six shooter at your side. Front on Texas, we'll be right back after this.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock finds good trucks and reconditions them to be ready to work for you and your business. Mike and Jason have repeat customers from all over the country, even Alaska. Call 806-687-1115 to get Mike and Jason working for you. Visit specialtytrucksoflubbock.com and see their inventory. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life, health, dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
He reads the entire state press each day, so you don't have to. It's your Texas anchorman, Robert Pratt, with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. There was some interesting border news out there. You may have seen a lot of people writing about it. The Epoch Times had a piece. Biden administration set to close 4 wide gaps in the U.S.-Mexico border wall in an open area of southern Arizona near Yuma to address, quote, operational impacts and immediate life and safety risks. And here's a quote from him. Due to the proximity to the Morelos Dam and the swift-moving Colorado River, this area presents safety and life hazard risks for migrants attempting to cross into the United States, where there is a risk of drownings and injuries from falls. That's a DHS statement. They said this area also poses life and safety risks to first responders and agents responding to incidents in this area. Now, you remember Biden halted all wall construction when he took office. And since we're leading up to the midterms, though, and they've got problems in Arizona, he's going to go fill these gaps south of Yuma, make it a priority. Here's the problem. If walls don't work, then how does this wall mitigate for safety risks? I want you to think about that for a moment. The official position is that it's dangerous to cross here, but they've told us that walls don't work and that they don't stop crossing. So if walls don't work, how does this mitigate the health and safety risks for Border Patrol or for the illegal aliens coming across? Think about that. That's how absolutely transparent these people are. Sadly, they're only transparent to thinking people, and we have a society that has drummed much of that out of people, the ability to think. Now, I stated something at the top of the show that one of the things was that keeping leftist political action out of public school classrooms is considered anti-public education by Texas media and other Democrats. There was a big piece in the Hearst papers. Edward McKinley wrote it. I picked it up in the San Antonio Express News. Houston area race, I'm sure it's out of the Chronicle. Houston area race is key and rightward shift of Texas State Board of Education. Well, first of all, the Texas State Board of Education is not shifting anymore right. It's been to the right. It's had a couple of disappointing members. But read all this stuff. This is a race, District 7, Fort Bend County, Brazoria and Galveston counties, a little bit, Liberty and Orange and Jefferson counties. So Beaumont, Galveston, all that area. And you get in here and you get things like this. In lists of the most important issues to her campaign, Pickren has named ridding public schools of critical race theory, and then they try to, in a clause, try to debunk the whole concept of critical race theory as even existing here. And then they say Pickren is also supportive of parents' rights initiatives, such as those espoused by Governor Abbott. Now here's the liberal here. She is leading a fight. She's leading a fight, an assault on public education that's going on right now. It's not among all Republicans, but it's among a good number, and she's kind of leading that fight. And the idea that critical race theory is going on in most schools and most districts, which is entirely false. Nobody said most. If it's going on in any, it's wrong. So our overall approach is, in my view, anti-public education, said Robinson, who's supposedly not a Democrat, claims to be a Republican or something, endorsing the Democrat. And then the guy down there says, I'm up against a woman who is clearly anti-public education. And how do they define what anti-publication is? Being opposed to leftist ideology, using our classrooms and our children, using our money in our classrooms to indoctrinate children into revolutionary Marxist leftism. That's what anti-public education means to today's not only Democrats, but the rhinos out there. Now, you don't believe it's going on? How about this piece by Kim Roberts in the Texan? Fort Worth ISD provides culturally responsive teaching training to ESL teachers. Fort Worth ISD hosted a professional development seminar promoting, quote, lessons planning as a political act and aiming to, quote, chip away at the systems of oppression in education. That's right. Fort Worth ISD hosted that this summer for its bilingual English as a second language teachers. That's right. You're supposed to be teaching language, but that's got to be made a political course. The seminar entitled C6 Biliteracy Instructional Framework, Lesson Planning via Critical Consciousness Lens, developed by Dr. Jose Medina, Educational Solutions, adopts many of the ideological ideas about which parents have voiced concerns in Fort Worth and around the country in recent months. In a podcast in 2020, Medina explained the framework for the training. That's right. The guy doing it. When asked to elucidate his viewpoint that lesson planning is a political act, Medina said it must be acknowledged that, quote, U.S. schools were conceptualized to promote white, middle-income viewpoints. He continued by saying that educators must ask themselves how they have been maintaining and supporting oppression in education. It's about disruption in the system, he asserted. What have I told you? All this is Marxist revolution. Medina's biography acknowledges he's been influenced by Paulo Freire, prominent Brazilian education theorist. Freire's ideas have strongly influenced teaching methods in American public schools. His neo-Marxist framework can be found in his books, such as Pedagogy for the Oppressed, according to an affidavit sent to the Texan by James Lindsley, PhD, who studied his work. Like with Medina's C6 training seminar, Lindsley points out for Freire, however, the point of all such instruction is unambiguously politically generally and to generate a Marxist consciousness specifically. Entire chapters in the book are dedicated explicitly to these themes since they are, for Freire, the point of education. Culturally responsive teaching, according to the seminar information obtained by the Texan, quote, must start with addressing implicit bias. It also calls on English as a second language teachers to create a plan for a cultural learning target that, quote, amplifies voices of marginalized communities, end quote. Culturally relevant teaching is more or less direct repackaging of Freirean education into a more contemporary identity political domain, Lindsay pointed out on the affidavit. Medina, who identifies as queer, Chicano, Spanglish-speaking educational leader, that's a quote, provided books of his testimonio to seminar participants, which they were required to go. It's Fort Worth ISD seminar, which included a conversation between siblings about one being homosexual and a depiction of himself as a boy being excited about wearing a pink dress. Dr. Carol Swain, distinguished senior fellow for constitutional studies at the Texas Public Policy Foundation, said the training was clearly designed to politicize students. Quote, most people want their kids to be taught basic education like reading, writing, and math and not be used for political agendas. It is very subtle and casual. Observers would have a hard time seeing the warning signs, said Swain, who's studied and written about these concepts. I believe it's up to the knowledgeable people to protect the children who can't protect themselves nor are aware of the larger political agenda. Carlos Turquios, a Fort Worth ISD graduate who's been fighting CRT in the district, said of the training, quote, the training will provide no true productive value. Students need teachers focusing on academic performance and actually making sure they learn English properly. How dare you? Jason Pena, a Fort Worth ISD parent of Mexican descent with two children in the district, learned about the training and said, it makes me angry because it's teaching minority kids to hate white kids and to be a victim. But see, you have rhinos around the state and the media telling you this stuff isn't going on in our schools. It's not going on in our schools. And that's my point. The new anti-public education today, and you're going to hear it a lot over the issue of public school choice. Anti-public education today simply means opposing the left having a captive audience of your children. In other words, they want public education to them means the old idea, compulsory. You don't have a right to get your kids out of our leftist revolutionary indoctrination. And I'm sorry so many of you think this stuff isn't there. I visited with teachers who didn't even understand that's what they were teaching in their social studies books, simply because they don't have a background in it, and they're really not into that. They just like teaching kids. We all have to stand up and fight. We have to always fight for God's way, my friends, and make sure we're on His side, not on the side of the adversary. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos, and have a great weekend.
Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.